for that. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise him and take confidence in that statement. God, we know that we are in your hands. We are secure in your hands, O Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And somebody that needs that tonight received it tonight. And somebody else that will need it next week or next month, you also receive that. We are in his hands, and they are great hands, aren't they? They are powerful hands. I'm glad to be in those hands. Would you another time thank him for his protection and his provision and his love and his placing you in the church? Oh, Lord, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the baptism of the Spirit that baptizes us into your body. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. We love God, and we're blessed to be a part of his church. Amen? And you may be seated. Recently, I had my Bible that I have had for several years. I had it rebound. When I opened the box, my Bible was in that box in its new rebound condition. There it was, and it was impressive to see the change. But also, for the sake of memory, was the old cover. And that's all that's left of the Bible as far as this cover is concerned. This cover prompted the question and this message tonight: what's left of your Bible? When the king Jehoiakim was sitting in the palace and Jeremiah was prophesying, and it was written down on a scroll, the king Jehoiakim sent Jehudi to fetch the roll of the word of God through Jeremiah. Jehudi took it out of the scribe's chambers, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. And Jeremiah 36 and 22 says, the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass, when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it, the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all of the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. There was nothing left of the word of the Lord in Jehoiakim's hands. That was all of the word of God that Jehoiakim wanted. Nothing. Just ashes. There are probably more Bibles available than ever before in history, due to accelerated printing processes, but then also because of technology. That phone that you are looking at has the Bible on it, and you're following Pastor in Jeremiah chapter 36. And this iPad that I have has the Bible on it. And on that condition, I would say there are probably more Bibles than ever before, and all kind of Bibles. Several years ago, someone sent to me the whole Bible on microfilm. This is the entire Bible. And if you put it under a microscope that was powerful enough, or a microfilm reader, you would be able to read from Genesis to Revelation. So there are Bibles everywhere. Many of you have your Bibles with you tonight. There are Bibles all over this church, and they're in the office and on our shelves. But at the same time, the Bible, or its values and its doctrines, have never been more challenged than they are today. And never more lacking or less prevalent or so absent in society and in families and in lives than it is today. It's almost a paradox. You can pull up the Bible just about anywhere you are, and yet it gets more difficult to pull it up in life and in lives. The Bible in America was the name of a collaborative survey that was done by the American Bible Society and the Barna Group in 2016 that took an in-depth look at what people in the United States believe about the Bible. 62% of Americans have a desire to read the Bible more. Now, when you get to talking about the natural populace and you get over 50%, you almost feel like shouting when you read a stronger percentage. You know what I mean? I was kind of encouraged, 62%. And so I kind of forgot about the 38%. Of course, what we know, it ought to be 100% because we believe His Word. Two-thirds of adults believe that the Bible contains everything a person needs to know in order to live a meaningful life. Two-thirds also hold an orthodox view of the Bible, that it is the actual or inspired Word of God. I do find those encouraging and yet somewhat discouraging at the same time. 44% of Americans read the Bible at least once a month. Almost half get a Bible reading in once a month. On average, 8 out of 10 consider the Bible to be sacred and a holy book. And many believe that it has an influence. However, the number of Bible skeptics keeps inclining or increasing to where in 2016, 22% were totally skeptical of anything that was held in the pages of the Word of God. So over time, the tendency to take the Bible or the Word of God literally is waning and declining. I want to pause right here to say we need to take a thanks pause. First of all, we should give thanks, or you should give thanks, that you have heard the truth at one time or another and that you believe the truth. And I mean, that's good. That's good. We ought to do that. I'm really out of our heart. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you thankful for a preacher that preached the word of the Lord to you? Or a witness that testified of the Bible and its truth to you, and Sunday school teachers that taught the Word of God to you, and children's church workers and youth workers. And thank God we give thanks. And then added to that, I would say we should give thanks to be a part of an organization that still holds to the Word of the Lord. And we should be thankful for APC, a church where the banner of the Word of the Lord is still exalted. And thank God for leaders and preachers and pastors that still preach the Word of the Lord. I want us to really give a sincere thanks to the Lord, God, for your blessing in my life. I want to thank you to be a part of a church. I want to thank you being part of an organization. I want to thank you for men and women who preach the full truth of your Word. Hallelujah. And there's a difference, by the way, in preaching about the Bible and preaching the Bible. Up to this point in this sermon, outside of the text that I read, I have preached mainly about the Bible. stats and an illustration about the cover to start the sermon. And I have books on the shelf. Many of you have it, or you can access online. You can read reference books to help, and I've used them today. I used this one today. And you can tell by its cover or lack thereof that I've used it several times. I'm not preaching against references. I'm not preaching that we can't have illustrations. But I am preaching there's a difference in preaching about the Bible and preaching the Word of God and preaching from the Bible. All of this is helpful, but we need to read and believe and live and preach the Word of God versus only about the Bible. Preachers, we need to preach not only about the Word of God, but we need to preach the Word of God. And saints, don't let your ears be tickled or desire just to hear about the Bible, but to hear what saith the Word of the Lord. Preach what the Word says, not what man says, not what religion says. Those stats, they may help us to better appreciate the Word of God, but they're not going to save us. But this Word of God that says, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, and you shall receive. And if you need the Holy Ghost tonight, the Holy Ghost is still in our Bibles. We still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you will repent and turn back and turn away from sin and give yourself to God, He will fill you with the baptism of His Spirit. Use references, use illustrations if they say what the Word is saying, and if the Word is the main point. My illustration is not the main point tonight. Jesus is the main point, and the Word of God is the main point and the most important point. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves. We're not preaching about ourselves. That means also we're not preaching our own ideas, our own thoughts, and our own interpretation of Scripture. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm going to preach Him and say He's here right now because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to preach Him right now and say He's here because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Preach Jesus. We lift Jesus up and we glorify Him. We do not preach about ourselves. Paul said, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. Now, I've worked on this message like we all do on our messages. I believe we ought to try to say it right. We ought to try to have the proper English. Try to stay away from words, but I fail on this. And I'll add an ain't in or doesn't it happen and all those kind of words that are found nowhere in the dictionary. We're trying on those things. But Paul said, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined. This is an intentional thing about the Word. We've got to be determined, or else something else will slip in. We've got to be determined about what we preach and what we believe, or else something else will slip in, and we'll think we're preaching and believing the right thing, and we'll end up preaching about ourselves. But I determined, praise God, oh Lord, let this get on preachers, let this get on pastors, let this get on congregation. I am determined not to know anything among you save. Save. Help me preach now. Save. And Him crucified. Preach Him. He's high and He's glorious. He went to a cross. He went into a tomb. But He came out of that tomb with power and glory. And that power is in this room right now. Paul said, I was weak. I was fearful. and I was in much trembling. Somebody said the other day, I think it was a younger person who was coming for license, they said, Brother Williford, I get nervous when I get up there. My response was, don't ever lose that. Now, experience helps with that. But there ought to be a little trembling. There ought to be a little wondering, am I doing the will of God? There ought to be a little humility that we can't strut ourselves to feel like we know everything there is to know about God or His Word. We just need to humble ourselves and say, there is weakness, there is fear, I've got it in my soul tonight, there is trembling. And then he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You're coming to the wrong church if you want to come to find the words of man's wisdom. But we're going to be as wise as we can. We are going to focus on Jesus Christ and not the wisdom or the education that we can glean, because it's not in man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. And I feel that Spirit right now anointing this preacher. I feel Him anointing. I pray He will anoint this word to your soul and to your heart. And God, help us to get your word in our heart that we will not ever change. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And then he said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. I just want to put it in Williford terms. It doesn't matter what anybody else preaches. Our responsibility is to preach the word of God. And it doesn't matter what anybody else preaches or believes. Your responsibility as a believer is to believe what thus saith the word of God. And I will tell you, it's going to get more out of date. It's going to get more out of fashion. It's going to be harder to walk up the cultural stream. But I am not one bit discouraged about that, because this word is forever settled. This word is forever true. There will never be a time or a day when it is not true. So if we are an angel, preach any other gospel. And here's a very serious statement. Than which we have received, let him be accursed. Paul preached a curse on somebody that let down on the doctrine and let down on the standards and let down on the values of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, a little difference makes a big difference. A little point makes a big point of difference. And then Paul said, preach the Word. Preach the word, he told Timothy. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach the word. Now, we've always talked about that as be ready to preach anytime. One of the applicants we interviewed talked about the pastor he was helping, and he said, well, when I walk in Sunday morning, Brother so-and-so either says, you're teaching the Bible class, or you're preaching the service. Hallelujah. Brother Becton told me one time, he said, when I'd slip into 13th and Gravel, I tried to hide in the back, because I knew as sure as anything, if Pastor Branding or Pastor Black came and saw me, they'd be coming to get me, and I'd be preaching that morning. I heard Brother T.F. Tenney preach a memorial sermon when he was asked at the last minute, and he preached too hot for angels to handle, that living coal that came off of the altar. Well, we try not to operate that way around here. We kind of know what's going to happen. But that's not what this scripture means. In season, out of season. The phrase in season means when it's opportune or when it's favorable. So when you've got a congregation like this one that really believes in one God and really believes in water baptism in Jesus' name and really believes in the power of the Holy Ghost, then you need to preach that word then. But then he said, then you need to preach that out of season. When it's not opportune and when it's not favorable, I contend we can't change how we preach dependent upon the audience. Neither can we change how we have church. I heard of one pastor that told his congregation, because we have the main set of visitors and more visitors on a Sunday morning, we're going to settle down our Sunday morning services. And we're not going to be as loud or as boisterous, or we're not going to sing as free because we don't want to scare them away. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost never truly scares anybody away. Now, it gets uncomfortable at times, and there is some fear, and it may scare them, but it doesn't scare them away. If there is hunger in their heart, this is just old school, but it's just the truth too. It will not scare anybody away. If we ever try to put this thing at APC in a bottle and take the cork out when we want to and put it back in when we want to, we will be nothing more than a museum and a medicine cabinet. Let it flow, Pastor Levine. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the power of God flow. Preach the same true message no matter what your audience is. No matter the culture or the times. We can't believe and preach one message to one person and one audience, then another to another audience. Paul said it this way, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Phil gave me a Bible several years ago. I pulled it out the other day. I was having to use this one while I was getting the Bible rebound. I'm going to tell you, that's not as small a print as on that microfilm, but it might as well have been. When my Bible got rebound, I got set free. So it's a little harder to read. And it's a little smaller than my regular Bible, as you can see. But every once in a while, I'll pull this out. And sometimes I'll use it to read the Bible. But I like to read what he said. In fact, it was 30 years ago tomorrow, he gave me this. 5/1/87, before a lot of y'all were born. He said some nice things, even though he was happy to be my brother. I believe he meant that. I'm not sure he should be happy, but I'm glad he is. Thankful for a brother that preaches this great word, because he believes it too. This smaller Bible doesn't mean smaller sermons. So don't get upset. So if I go too long tonight, blame it on Phil. He's right over there where he can get out either door if he needs to. But we can't shrink this message. We can't shrink wrap this thing and make it fit our life or any other kind of life. Because the saving and keeping message is the Word of God. This Word is what will save you, and this Word is what will keep you and I. It is the good old gospel. It is the Word of the Lord. I'm thankful for all of our music. I'm thankful for this wonderful choir. I'm thankful for screen. I am thankful for all of that. I personally, my opinion is I don't want to do church without it. But if we had to do without everything else, even a building, as long as we had the Word of God. That's why in your home and in your family you are strong, because you don't have all of this, but you've got the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let me just ask you tonight, I'm going to get down home, close and personal. What's left of your reading relationship Bible? If your actual Bible was the size of your Bible reading schedule, how big or how small would it be? What's left of your Bible? I hope it's not, I used to read every day. I used to do some extra study along with that reading. A complete reading Bible is a personal daily reading of the word. I'll go ahead and just say it as plain as I can. We need to read his word every day. And if we are not, we are only shortchanging ourselves. And I'm talking about more than a schedule. I'm talking about more than just doing it because somebody told us to do it. But we need to take in and eat the word of God, because that is the Lord himself. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. You are having relationship with him as you read his word. Joshua wrote, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." And then Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, "The Lord wanted us to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The question tonight is, what is left of your Bible reading Bible? What's left of your Bible when it comes to what you can't explain? We don't have time tonight to try to answer this question or help this question, but I want to pose to you, can you explain what we believe? Can you explain what we believe? Peter said we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. Now, we all have to go to others at some point or another, but I'm going to venture to say at least half, and probably much higher percentage of time, we ought to be able to give the answer without having to say, "I'm going to go check with pastor. I'm going to go check with Bible teacher. I'm going to go check with whoever." We need to be able to give an answer. And then the next question is, are you willing to explain what you believe? Are you willing to give somebody a witness? Are you willing to give somebody a Bible study? I'm just preaching tonight, what's left of your Bible? I don't want my witness to look like this. It's what I used to use. It's what I used to be. Do you still have a full Bible when it comes to what you believe? This is a one-year Bible. And my sweet wife tore it up. Becky goes under the bus. But she did it because I asked her to. She did it very reverently. And we put it in this three-ring binder. This binder makes it easy to take pages out. Now, there's a positive to that, but there's a negative that'll preach about that. We shouldn't be taking anything out of the word of the Lord. We shouldn't diminish. And you know, if I got some great revelation, I could put it on a little sheet this size and put it in here, call it Steve 1 and 1. And that's the direction this church is going to go. That's the direction I'm going to take my family. Not on your life. None of us can afford to add to or to take away from the word of God. Here's why she did that, to help me to be able to keep reading the word of God. She also made me this little plastic folder, and so I can put a week or 10 days worth of Bible reading in here, and I can stick it in my briefcase or in the suitcase when I'm traveling. And it's really handy just to have the word of God. And I can take it to some places that I probably couldn't take this big old binder, or maybe some other size of the word of God. We ought to be able to take the word of God everywhere we go with our life and with our belief system. But we must never remove anything from the pages of the word of God. Let me ask you about your Bible. Do you still have a full Bible when it comes to faithfulness? Is faithfulness still in your Bible? Is prayer still in your Bible? Is fasting, is holiness still in your Bible? Is giving still in your Bible? Some might want to sneak in there and get Malachi 3. Ooh, don't call me a robber, God. Don't call me a thief. Is prayer, is giving, is fasting, is faithfulness, is holiness still in your Bible? When it comes to Bible doctrine and Bible truth, we must never let our life only be the cover. But there must be something on the inside of us. In fact, the Bible says we are living, walking Bibles. We are living letters, are living epistles. What's left in your living epistle? When people are watching and reading your lives, can they read? And I believe it's an affirmative yes. I'm going to go ahead and answer for you. I believe there's that name. There is power in the one who bears that name. He doesn't have to back up to any devil. He doesn't have to back up to any evil spirit. That book says, these signs shall follow them that believe. We've got to be careful. This is why preaching of the word of the Lord is important. It doesn't talk about following the signs. The signs are supposed to be following us. We need to watch getting caught up following people who have signs. Thank God they have the signs. Better make sure they have the truth too. Don't be mesmerized by the spectacular. It is spectacular when a miracle happens. And thank God for every miracle and every casting out that happens. But that life needs to measure up to the power and the word of God. And what they say and their truth and the doctrine that they preach must measure up to all of that. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. We received a web request the other day requesting information. Somebody had told someone else that they had to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which included speaking with other tongues. I could tell by the tone of the letter that it seemed the person didn't feel that that was absolutely right because they already trusted and believed God. But I just wrote, but it was a little sermon. It wasn't as long as this one, but it was a little sermon that, yes, tongues come along and are a part of and are the package deal with receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it's the Spirit of God that gives the utterance. And they shall speak with new tongues. It would be all right for several of us to do that tonight. Amen. They shall take up serpents. This isn't about aggrandizing, going around hunting snakes. This is about if one climbs up on you and you need to get rid of it, get rid of it. And if it happens, there is a protective power of the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's a snake or a vehicle or whatever. I plead the protective blood in the name of Jesus over this congregation right now, right now. Whoa. God is with you. He is your protector. And there is nothing that can defy his name. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. The laying on of hands is scriptural. Now, healing can come without the laying on of hands, but it can also come with the laying on of hands. Never, never be fearful or never shy away from somebody that is genuinely anointed and following the word and following the scripture to lay their hands on you, because that is the word of the Lord. Some folks have taken that out of their Bible. I don't know, maybe they don't want to get their hair messed up. Some of us don't have anything to worry about. Maybe they don't want to appear to be some wacko. But the book says, lay hands upon them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And what does it say? And they might. The Bible says. Now my doubt says, well, what if I lay hands on them and nothing happens? But God's thinking is, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Keep Isaiah 53 in your Bible. With his stripes. Stand with me if you would please. With his stripes. We are healed. If you need any kind of a healing, an emotional healing. If you need a physical healing tonight. If you will walk on the word of God. In the midst of that stormy sea. In that boat were the disciples, including Simon Peter. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And he says to Simon, come. I've often thought about this. One word. And we've got all of this. All Simon had was one word. And he starts walking a miracle. Now he was walking on the water, but I'll tell you really what he was walking on. He was walking on the word. That word that said, come. And you can walk on the word. Hear me tonight. You can walk on the word of God to get your answer either by coming forward or right there where you're standing in the pew or somebody laying their hands on you. If you will just mix your faith with his word. God had to reprimand Israel because the word was preached, but it didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith. We've got to keep faith in our Bibles. We've got to keep faith in our lifestyle. And so if we believe the word of the Lord, you can walk. You can walk on the word of God tonight. I'm going to open this altar for anybody that needs to repent. Anybody that wants to be baptized, anybody that wants to receive the Holy Ghost, anybody that needs a healing, anybody that needs an answer for a family dilemma, and if we will agree together and believe and have faith, ask, seek, and knock, it's the word of the Lord, the door shall be opened unto us. It doesn't say maybe, the word that we're studying and reading tonight says it shall happen. Maybe you want to come to commit to keep God's word in your heart. Maybe you want to restore the whole counsel of God. A few pages have fallen out of my belief system. I want to commit myself to the whole counsel of God. Renew your faith. I open this altar right now. Come on and step out on a word from God. There's been enough word through song. There's been enough word preached this morning. There's been enough word preached tonight. You have the word that you need. And this word is full. It is true. It is powerful. Hallelujah. We don't want just the cover, Lord. We want the full volume. We want the full content. If you have any need, you can even ask for a child of God, a fellow believer, sister or brother around you. You can ask for prayer and believe God. We believe you, Jesus. Let your work be done, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Break every chain.
Yes.
Break
your word, God. Claim it. That's it. Claim a promise. Claim the word of God.
There is power.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.